As we've been reporting, Australians in three states, about half of the country, are in lockdowns as the Delta strain of COVID continues to spread. In New South Wales, they recorded 110 cases today. Up to 73 of those were infectious in the community. Victoria recorded 22 new cases, and South Australia, well, they've got a cluster that's now grown to 12 cases. The Prime Minister has today acknowledged regrettable delays in the vaccine rollout, which is now 2 months behind schedule, but maintained everyone should have access to a vaccine by the end of the year. I spoke to Mark Butler, who's the Shadow Health Minister, a short time ago, and I began by asking him whether he thought that was a reasonable answer.
No, it's not. This has been an extraordinary day of spin and, frankly, of lies by the Prime Minister over the course of a long day of media appearances by him finally, after being, frankly, missing in action for a number of days. This morning, he repeatedly tried to pretend that when he said it's not a race, he was talking about the approval process by the Therapeutic Goods Administration for the two vaccines, the Pfizer vaccine and then the AstraZeneca vaccine, when it is quite clear that Pfizer was approved in January, AstraZeneca was approved in February, and then on several occasions right through March, as it was starting to come under pressure about the already slow rate of the vaccine rollout. In relation to that rollout, he said repeatedly, it is not a race. Now, I think Australians are pretty forgiving of their leaders when mistakes are made, particularly in the midst of a crisis, but they don't like Australians, they don't like their leaders, frankly, lying to them. He is lying about what he meant and when he said it is not a race.
Okay, it's interesting you make that point. I looked through the record too. Originally, in fact, he did use that term about the speeding up of the approval process, saying, you know, we don't need to do that because we don't have the situation going on like they do in the UK. He was talking
and
about
that. And he was
right
about that.
Yeah, but he wasn't lying about that. He said that, didn't he?
No one contested the speed of the TGA process. I said at the time, we didn't want the TGA to go through the expedited process that was happening in the US and the UK.
Just to be completely accurate, right? I'm love a bit of accuracy, is that he did say it's not a race about that, you know, speeding up that process, did he not?
Sure. But then weeks after the approvals were in place, after he'd got his vaccine, as the country was going through the rollout, when he started to come under pressure because he'd promised there'd be 4 million vaccinations by the end of March, he repeatedly, in a number of interviews on the 11th of March, in press conferences that day, in press conferences in the middle of March, when pressured about the rollout, not about approvals, but about the rollout, he repeatedly kept saying, it's not a race, it's not a race. So, look, just be honest with the Australian people. Say you've made a mistake. You shouldn't have said that. You know, today I've heard him mouth the words, I take responsibility, then in the same breath, blame everyone else. It was something about supply from overseas. The pressure he is placing, I heard you talking to Professor Bennett about this, on ATAGI, the technical advisory group on immunisations. This is just a genetic tray of this fellow. He can't take responsibility for his own failures. And I think Australians want their leaders to fess up when they fail, when they make a mistake, and they'll forgive that if they see honesty from their leaders and a change of tack. We're just not getting this from Scott Morrison.
Let's talk about ATAGI, because you say, I heard the word pressure from you. Do you think that what the Prime Minister has done today, saying that he's constantly appealing to ATAGI, amounts to pressure, and do you think it's inappropriate?
I think it's a course of conduct. I think we've seen the Prime Minister over the course of the last several weeks freelancing about AstraZeneca and quite openly placing pressure on them to provide advice that is more convenient for him. I didn't come up with the words pressure. The head of the AMA over the last several hours has described what the Prime Minister has just done about the immunisation advisory group, ATAGI, as, to use his words, Omar Khashid, the president of the AMA, as unfair pressure. But those are his words, and I think it would be any observer's description of what the Prime Minister has done today.
So you agree?
Remember, this
just
is an
clear, you think
yes, I agree.
That this is, what would you describe it as?
Unfair pressure. I agree with the AMA. I think this is the Prime Minister using the power of his office as the head of the country, trying to shelve responsibility for the terrible failures of this vaccine rollout onto them, rather than taking responsibility himself.
And
the hint is in the name,
Patricia.
That,
other than the political ramifications or what you think is inappropriate, which is you think he should take more responsibility, I accept that. But do you think there is something inherently problematic about that, that perhaps these scientists, medical experts would feel pressured? Are you actually worried materially that this will have the wrong impact, that they will feel pressured?
I have great confidence in the members of that group to continue to make advice and give advice to governments without fear or favour based on the science. And this advice is, as the AMA said, as Professor Bennett said earlier, advice based on the best science. And it reflects, frankly, advice that their equivalents were given overseas. It's just that governments overseas had arranged backups. That they were able to shift people off AstraZeneca if they received advice like we did, into more Pfizer or into Moderna. This government, this Prime Minister, hadn't made those backup arrangements. He was too lazy last year to do what so many people were advising him to do, and that is do more deals, do them more quickly. So I think this is pressure. And the concern I have about it is, frankly, all of the arguments I might have about Scott Morrison's approach to quarantine and vaccines. The one thing that marks our country out very well from some other countries to which we usually compare ourselves is there's been a high level of respect for the science, a high level of respect for the public health advice that has been received by state and federal governments, even when sometimes it's politically difficult, even when it involves making politically difficult decisions like lockdowns or what have you. You can't tamper with that. That has been a very important set of guardrails, if you like, as we negotiate our way through this pandemic. And I think what the Prime Minister did today and what he's done before, frankly, about the AstraZeneca advice from Otago jeopardises that tradition that we've built up over a long time in this country of the respect for the science.
OK, so you think this is unfair pressure from the Prime Minister that he's trying to get himself out of a pickle. Scott Morrison has celebrated 1 million Australians getting a dose of COVID-19 vaccine in the past week, and, of course, that is good, and says the rollout is now on track. It's 2 months behind, but that we will be getting to where they want to get by the end of the year. Do you accept that it's back on track?
No, I don't. We are languishing last in the table of developed countries. 11% of the population is fully vaccinated. Perhaps even more concerningly, the most vulnerable groups in the community who are supposed to be vaccinated early, particularly before the beginning of winter, still remain heavily and dangerously exposed to this highly infectious variant. Only 30% of Australians aged over 70 are fully protected, have received both doses of the vaccine, 30%. In the UK, those figures are over 95%. A quarter of residents of disability care facilities have been fully vaccinated. Three quarters are still exposed. That's a group that was supposed to be fully vaccinated by Easter. So I think the Prime Minister should spend less time patting himself on the back and more time recognising and admitting to the Australian people we are still way behind.
Okay.
You know, 14 million Australians are in lockdown. This Delta variant that came from an outbreak caused by yet another failure in Scott Morrison's quarantine system is racing through the country, and 9 out of 10 Australians are not fully protected.
Well, I don't want to get into a kind of linguistic semantics kind of argument, but he does say it's regrettable. What's the difference between sorry, regrettable? I don't know. Like, he's not happy. He's not happy that it's behind.
Of course he's not happy. No, I mean, nor should he be. But it just reminds people of, you know, this is the Prime Minister who says, I don't hold a hose, mate. When is he going to take responsibility and face up to his own failures? I mean, that's what the Australian people want. As I think I said earlier in this interview, the Australian people are a forgiving group. They recognise that negotiating a once-in-a-century pandemic is not easy, and misjudgments will be made, mistakes will be made, but what they expect of their leaders is some honesty and some courage and taking responsibility. And that's what we're not getting from this Prime Minister. When he mouths the word regrettable or I take responsibility, in the same breath, he points to other people and says it was their fault. And I just think people are getting sick of it. I know I'm getting sick of it. I wish he'd just take some responsibility.
All right, let's do this stuff quickly because, I got overly excited over language. JobKeeper. He's been asked about JobKeeper and the push for JobKeeper to be restored. He said that solved last year's problem, that it's about solving last year's problem. Is he right that we're at a different phase now?
Well, I'm not sure what the difference is. I mean, Sydney is into an extended lockdown. I think we all hope that Victoria is able to start to wind things back at the end of the 7-day extension, and things are looking pretty hopeful, I cross my fingers, in my state of South Australia. But But, you know, things are very difficult right now in Australia. And I think it's not just Labor calling for JobKeeper or something like it that maintains that connection between an employer and employee. We've seen big parts of the hospitality industry that are right on the front line of this, often the first to have to close down and the last to get back on their feet. They've been calling today for the return of something like JobKeeper. If the Prime Minister's pride doesn't let him call it that, then at least put in place something that allows that relationship of employer and employee to be maintained.
Let's talk about what the rest of 2021 will look like. Level with Australians as you analyse it based on what the experts say. Should Australians now just be prepared for rolling snap lockdowns potentially for the rest of the year?
Well, I don't know whether it's the rest of the year. I'll be frank with you, Patricia, I don't know. The budget papers assume that there'll be a lockdown, a substantial lockdown every month for the rest of the year. We're seeing with this new variant, it's highly infectious. It's passed on in a way that previous variants weren't, the so-called fleeting transmission. The New South Wales Premier again said today, while you've got such low rates of vaccination, no responsible government can do anything other than lock the place down in the face of a highly infectious, dangerous variant. We're a long way from having substantial levels of vaccination when we're just at 11% now. And also we're a long way from having purpose-built quarantine. You know, we were seeing very regular outbreaks from hotel quarantine through the course of June. And there's no reason to expect that they won't happen over the course of the rest of the year as well. So I think we're in for a very tough few months because, frankly, our quarantine system wasn't put in place properly by Scott Morrison and our vaccination rates are too low. As to when Australians can start to see some light at the end of the tunnel, I think we're all desperately waiting for the modelling that National Cabinet commissioned from the Doherty Institute to start to look at what levels of vaccination are appropriate to start thinking about alternatives to hard lockdowns. But we haven't even got that modelling yet. We've got the lowest rate of vaccination in the developed world. I think, unfortunately, it's a little way off.
And that is the Shadow Minister on the Labor side of politics for Health, Mark Butler.